Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to our podcast, Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at Eastern Mena University, and we're glad you joined us this week. We hope that you are enjoying the spring weather of May leading up towards Memorial Day. And for those of you who still have your children in school, the end of school is just around the corner with high school graduations, et cetera. And, of course, on the collegiate scene, we're always interested in high school graduations because it means a transition that people are making, kids are making from high school to college. And as we try to think about coming up this weekend, actually, is one of our first spring orientations and registrations. And I noted the other day that I participate in those, and it's a time when incoming freshmen come in for the day. Some of them will actually come in, I think, the night before, but they have a couple of programs for parents and financial aid, and actually the kids can register for their classes. And I've noticed that it's the first time, I think, or at least it really starts to take hold of the parents and the student that this is real, that they are coming. I remember back to when my first son, oldest son, came here in 1999. I was going to skip the spring orientation and registration because I thought as a graduate I knew all about EMU and all about college, and having been working in a high school for many years, and I sort of had that educational connection. And I remember they convinced me to come on down, and I came down, and I suddenly realized how different this was. Number one, how different EMU was than the EMC that I attended, but even more importantly, how big this step was and how different this step was going to college. And so it's a time when we have sort of a fair and we hand out things, and it's the only free things we give them, I guess, at that point. But it's just interesting to see, and I've seen some of these kids walk through as recruits, and now all of a sudden they come back and they do that. And that weekend, and so Saturday is going to be a day in which I think it really begins to sink in, and I just love the conversations I can have with them. James, I don't know if you remember, by the way, I'm joined again by James DeBoer, our sports information director. Do you recall at all that transition from high school to college, and when did it really sink in for you that, oh my gosh, I am going away, and I'm going to enter this thing called college?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of that, and part of me just didn't get hit by it a whole lot because I'm just kind of easy going with stuff. But for me, it probably didn't really hit until after I had moved in. Okay. I remember moving. Mm-hmm. I lived an hour. I grew up an hour away from the college that I went to. Okay. And so when it came time to move down, I just threw some stuff in my car and drove on down. Like, my parents didn't come down with me anything. And I think, I know especially my mom was a little sad. Now, part of that was because I was the last of five kids, so we just hit the empty nest syndrome. But yeah, I was just like, I don't know, I'm going to the same college my siblings did, and okay, threw stuff in the car, drove on down, and loaded into my new room. And maybe at some, I think for me, it really didn't, even driving down, I don't think it struck me. I think for me, it was getting into my actual apartment. So, I mean, there you go. It doesn't strike people right away.
Well, no, there's no doubt about it. Certainly being here after a week, and we notice that when the kids come in for early season in the fall, they come in a week ahead of time. But I think also any other student who comes here, athlete or non-athlete, they have been in this system for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Of come August or September, you go back into school. Mm-hmm. So I think they see the same thing. I think as I teach the transitions class for freshmen, one of the things we see is you're right. After that first week or two when they haven't gone home, or when they are learning new friends, or they now have a roommate, which many times they haven't even had somebody living in the room. They've had a bedroom all of themselves, and they've had their house to the same. And they suddenly realize that they can't go hit the refrigerator. There is no refrigerator like there was at home. And, you know, the TV and
Who's doing my laundry?
Who's doing my laundry? But it is interesting that it really the eyes get pretty big at this sore weekend. And so we're looking forward to that as well. And that's one of the things that's on the agenda. So we are still in the process of doing a lot of recruiting, surprisingly. I've talked to all the coaches, and it's surprising how many track and field, baseball and softball are still involved with people. Mm-hmm. In fact, basketball, men's basketball in particular as well. So that will continue, but there is a little bit of a shift at this point. In fact, we're spending this week or two, because of the fact that we've had so many hires this year in athletics, some transitions going on, that there are some kids sitting on the fence, I think, waiting to make a decision. So I got a list the other day, and we're going to start spending some time calling them just to let them know where we're at in the process. And
sure.
I thought one of the things we'd do today, James, would be update things. We were able to put on the webpage the announcement of Jeffrey Tyson as our women's volleyball coach. He's coming in the end of May here for to at least get accustomed and try to find some housing. Moving in from Marion, Indiana. We're very pleased of what Jeff is going to bring to us. He's going to be coaching a women's volleyball team and also be working in the fitness center. So we've gotten that to a full-time nine-month position. He most recently was at Indiana Wesleyan University as an assistant coach there. He has a connection to Pennsylvania. He graduated from Elizabethtown High School, played men's volleyball, boys volleyball there. Went to Indiana Wesleyan. Of course, they don't have a men's program, so did some coaching there as an assistant coach for about 4 years. Is somewhat of a technology person, as he's now needed to support the family a little bit more than an assistant coach does at a D3 university, and is doing that. So we were very pleased. I think the players who met with him when he was here for the interview, very pleased with what he's going to be able to bring. And I think probably more importantly, or most importantly, is the fact that, number one, he feels very much a fit to this university and the values and the Christian faith elements to it. I think also the fact that we can have someone who's dedicated just to the women's team is going to be really important. And so that has allowed us and freed us up to search for someone specifically for the men's team. And it looks like we're getting close to that, and that person would share duties in the fitness center. So, again, we can get them to the point where they're at a nine-month full-time position, which brings benefits to them. And so we're excited about that. You've had a chance to meet him. Any comments and you'd like to make about what you saw in Jeffrey coming in as a women's volleyball coach?
Well, just from the SID side of things, I'm super excited that he is technologically savvy.
Somehow I thought you were going to say that.
We have a few coaches around here that, that don't specialize in the computer side of things. They specialize in the coaching side of things. But looking back, as I wrote the release on him, I looked a little bit at his years at Indiana Wesleyan, and the program did very well. It's still a well-run program out there. And so I think that pedigree of him you know, it's his first head coaching job at the collegiate level, and so that's a bit of a step, but I just feel like his background, his experiences, and just that pedigree of a program he came from is really going to be a big benefit for him. And of the 4 years he was an assistant there, he was also a manager a few years, but the 4 years he was an assistant, their winning percentage, I think, was like 640 or higher three of the years. They play a lot more matches there. But, yeah, that, you know, 640 or higher winning percentage is pretty good.
Well, and you learn a lot in 4 years. I mean, we have some assistant coaches coming in here short term. So if you've been with the program 4 years, I think one of the other things that stuck out in our minds, and hopefully this summer we'll have a chance to actually have him on one of our podcasts once they move in here in July. But one of the other things that he talked about was, again, moving into this first-time head coaching. What he really liked was, and one of his responsibilities as an assistant coach was to watch film of recruits and determine whether or not they would fit the program, et cetera. And also he was responsible to break down film of opponents. So he comes with a very analytical mind and a very technological mind. And so I just think it's going to fit well in coaching the women, because the women really want to improve technologically their skills, their technical points they want to get better at. And so I think when you're in that part of the recruiting, it really means a lot. You've had to analyze players, and you know how to improve them. And so we're really looking forward to that. He and his wife, they don't have any children at this point. He and his wife are moving in here in July, and we'll get started. She's going to be looking for work. So we're excited about that process. We don't know about the assistant coach situation yet, but we were pleased to be able to announce that. We're also continuing to work on the golf position, and our golf team will start next year. Looking at this point, like at least I'm aware of at least seven guys that are going to be playing.
Okay, great.
And at least, I think, two women, but there may be more as well. We're working with a local person because it is a stipend position, so we figured it's not going to move anybody in from Wisconsin to coach on the golf team. We will be playing at Heritage Oaks Golf Course, which is a city-owned course, and we also have a commitment from the pro over there, David Johns, to serve as a consultant and an instructor, which I think should be really really highly attractive because him being there all the time as the team goes over and practices, he'll be able to give instruction during that time. And the person we're working with, and I'm a little hesitant to say the name because we're not quite ready to release it yet. We don't have the official paperwork signed, so I better not say anything about it, but I think everything's pretty well ready to go through. A person who is an alum of EMU, has some coaching experience here at EMU, and is currently working part-time at the Golf Center. So we are excited about that, and we're unfortunate it's taken this long, but when you have a stipend position and you need to try to negotiate, it comes a little bit tougher with that. So hopefully that's going to go up here maybe even today or sometime this weekend within the next day or so. So we are excited. We are a little bit late, so we don't know how many more additional golfers we're going to get in, but certainly starting to build the schedule and start to relate to the kids and get them their memberships out there and get started with practice. We're looking forward to that in a big way. If you happen to be a student athlete out there listening, the golf team will not have to come in early. We'll start as soon as you get here in September, but we'll talk about that. It's interesting, James, you mentioned we talked about what Jeff Tyson brings to women's volleyball, and I've been thinking about the golf thing as well. Maybe that's another thing we really ought to talk about sometime this summer is what does it take to be a coach? Hmm. What are the elements of coaching? Because it's interesting to me that you mentioned his technology background was a support to you, but it also it made me think about, okay, what are the qualities? And, of course, we're sitting through a lot of interviews at this point.
I'm sure, yeah. It's such an interesting question, and I imagine that there's about 40 different attributes you could put in there. Right. But the one thing, and I think we see that with Jeff, and I think this is going to be a key component to successful coaches, is just his hardworking nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about Jeff watching film of his players, of the opposing teams, he's got that desire just to work hard and figure things out, and that hardworking nature is one thing that pretty much is consistent. Well,
that's got to be consistent, so. Particularly in a Division III level. And I know on the search committees that I've served on and chaired, it's pretty much we're trying to find somebody who still has a fire in the belly. Mm-hmm. And so we are in the process of looking at the men's volleyball position as well. And we are interim coach Derek King is continuing his work through July. That was already part of the agreement. So we're not pressed to do that, but we're pretty close, I think, in looking at that position. And then just this week, the search committee started to review the baseball candidates, and we are hopeful that we can have some interviews starting next week. And our goal is by the end of May to be able to name the baseball coach. So it is, some people have asked me about the turnover, and it is a little bit more than I would have liked. Of course, as many of you know who followed us, we had to go with interim positions on women's and men's volleyball and baseball. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a whole bunch of people left this year. It was this transition over the course of time. And so that's just a little update as to where we are in terms of the coaching, and we'll make those announcements as they come along. But hopefully by 1st of June or early into June, we can name all of those coaches. The men's volleyball, if need be, could extend a little bit beyond, as I said, because Derek is still under contract to work with the recruiting efforts, and we're looking forward to that. Schedules are all in place. We're getting ready to start to gear up. Somebody asked what we do in the summertime, and does the schedule back down a little bit? And I don't know about you, James, but while I don't have a game to go to or something like that, I just can't seem to stay ahead of it. I don't know how you find yourself. Yeah, the schedule changes, but I thought I could go home at 5 most days, and I haven't been able to find that out. So quick synopsis of, you talked about, I know you're working hard on the recruiting software, and maybe that's another thing that Jeff coming in would be able to help us with. Give us a little timeline. I know some people always ask when we're going to get schedules up and running and posted. Some parents like to know when they need to take off and come see them, but even other people are interested too. So what's a timeline? I know things have changed a little bit since we got Presto. We're able to do it quicker, but give us a little timeline on when you're planning on posting the different schedules.
Sure. I haven't finalized that one yet, but my thoughts are, and part of this is one of my thoughts for the entire summer is to keep stuff fresh on the website. So that's a background reason to some of the timings. But I'm thinking of the June area for getting these schedules up. It's still a couple of months in advance of the fall seasons, and that, you know, that gives the parents a chance to say, okay, here's the games I want to go to. I need to figure out my travel plans. So somewhere in June is probably what I'm looking for the fall sports. The winter sports won't be until after the school year starts generally.
Well, and some people ask about that because they think, well, we have it in place. Why don't you do it? At the collegiate level, is to be a press release. It's to analyze it. It's to have the coaches' thoughts. It's everything else. While we have the schedule set, contracts haven't all been signed. And so it isn't quite the same. If someone calls us and we want to tell them what's on the schedule, we don't mind doing that. But I think the reason is we don't just want to post it up there. We post it with an article, with a story, with something going on. And I think that's one of the other key elements that why we wait a little bit longer to do it.
And
because people really aren't interested until we're closer to basketball season.
And there's always changes happening. I mean, you mentioned that the contracts aren't in. I mean, we're ready. I don't know if you're aware of this one yet, Dave, but Roger has been asked by the homecoming planning committee to tweak what time his soccer game starts.
No, I didn't hear that.
All right. So you heard it here first, Dave.
All right.
So, you know, there's always little things like that. And, you know, there could easily be something somewhere on the road where they have homecoming or they have something else going on or travel plans affect you. Maybe we'd want to start earlier.
Yeah.
And so there's always these little tweaks going on. And, you know, sometimes I'd rather just announce the schedule a week before the season starts because then we know that it's probably for sure.
I understand that, but there are people more interested in that. I do appreciate your efforts to try to keep things updated. So I want to, fans that are listening in, recognize the fact that don't go away just because we're not in session, so to speak, because we will be putting some fresh things up there on the website. Next week, I want to cover the Old Dominion Athletic Conference business meetings that are coming up at the end of the month and the Integration Institute. There'll be some good things on the topic agenda there. Nothing quite like is going on around the country where people are jumping from one conference to the next. I don't know. I don't know of anybody moving from conference to conference at the D3 level quite as much as in our local area here. The issue is that the Colonial Athletic Association just lost two key people in VCU and ODU. And so actually, interestingly enough, one of the discussions that we're going to have is where will the ODAC be in 2035? And Brad's going to give us a little bit of a scenario because there is a little bit of movement, but not a lot.
Right.
So I want to highlight the ODAC meetings. We're going to have an Integration Institute, which is something that the ODAC has been doing very well, that NCAA is very proud of. So next week we'll do that, update that, and then I'll be able to give you a report on the meetings after the end of the month. And once again, I thank you for tuning in this week, and don't forget to keep looking at the website. There'll be some new things coming up there, announcements of our coaches, etc. I always appreciate the fact that you're following EMU Athletics, and we hope we're bringing something that's valuable to you as you're driving in your car or sitting there doing something at home. So once again, thanks for joining, and until we meet again, I invite you to make it a great week.